Every day of my life, I've lived with a fear someone would find out that I'm not who they thought I was. Some whisper would confirm their doubts. And I've had to sit in silence and hear the hate, the fear, the lies. That seems so unimportant now to the death that waits and hides. And it's a high risk waking up each morning, a high risk walking out my door, a high risk knowing I could carry a debt that others can ignore. Every time I touch my lover, I know the chance we take. But it's his touch that keeps me alive. What other choice can I make? And I live each day now by the minute, and I try not to think too much. If it was anyone else's disease, would there be funding to discuss? And it's a high risk waking up each morning, a high risk walking out my door, a high risk knowing I could carry a debt that others can ignore. And I lay here and tremble for the love that I feel, and rage at a world that uses disease to decide whose life to steal. Sometimes the fear is unrelenting. The waves never leave the shore alone. And every day I hold you closer, and every day it feels closer to home. And it's a high risk waking up each morning, walking out my door, a high risk knowing I could carry a debt that others can ignore. Last night I had a nightmare. I dreamed I got sick and my sister found out. She refused to let me see my niece again, and from her home she shut me out. It's not only the death that's killing, it's the silence, it's the fear. Every day my brothers and sisters are dying, and it seems that nobody cares about the high risk of waking up each morning and walking out my door, the high risk knowing I could carry a debt that others can ignore.
Welcome to part two of Queer Music Heritage and my special show on songs about AIDS. That first track was by Jeff Morgan and is called High Risk. It's from his 1987 album, Talk It Over. And you're right, you're not going to hear a lot of cheery songs on this show, but you already know that the artist's move to share their feelings about AIDS did so out of a serious and somber need to communicate. This next artist was one of the pioneering lesbian comedians of our culture, whose albums were normally filled with fun and clever lyrics. She's Lynn Lavender, and she was moved in 1986 to write a song called Such Fine Young Men. She told me about it during an interview in 2003.
And of course, I think the song that has moved people the most is Such Fine Young Men, which was, I believe, the first song ever recorded on the subject of AIDS by any woman, straight or gay, and was a response of mine at the time to some early criticism of the people with the virus. You know, if they hadn't been this, that, and the other terrible thing, well, they just wouldn't have caught this. And it just made me so angry that I wanted to personalize it, and so I sang about three friends who had died of it.
Yeah, that's a beautiful song.
And I think because that means so much to me, maybe it was conveyed to the audience, and I think it struck a chord as we all suffered so terribly, directly or indirectly, with the spread of the epidemic.
My friend George was an ordinary man with a sweet and rather sober way about him. Not much more than a dimple and an unaffected smile, and you'd trust him with your life and never doubt him. Such a fine young man, such a good young man, and the kind you'd pin your fondest hopes upon. Such a fine young man, like a flower in the spring. I pinch myself to realize he's gone. My friend Dean was a pisser from the start, with a heart as big as any you could pick. He could cut through any bullshit with an impudent remark, and he'd cut the limes and lemons just as quick. Such a fine young man, such a good young man, and the kind you'd pin your fondest hopes upon. Such a fine young man moved my piano, found my mic. I pinch myself to realize he's gone. My friend Rob liked to talk you half to death, made you feel that he was interested in you. Intelligent and generous, he'd scarcely stop for breath. Maybe 700 others felt it, too. Such a fine young man, such a good young man, and the kind you'd pin your fondest hopes upon. Such a fine young man found me work one Thursday night. I pinch myself to realize he's gone. So, you see, I've known some fellows in my day, and I've had to watch them go by ones and twos. And I won't defer to any other woman, straight or gay, who tries to teach me how to love and lose. Such fine young men, such good young men. So strong, so mild, so sure. I'm not a praying woman, yet I know that if I were, I'd pray that they would finally find a cure.
Lynn Lavner from her 1986 album, I'd Rather Be Cute. I wish I could have included that song on part one of my show, but the lyrics would have required editing for broadcast radio, and I just couldn't bring myself to tamper with them. It was the same for this next song. It comes from Steve Shockland's musical, The Last Sessions, and is about going to an AIDS support group. This version is not from the soundtrack, as I wanted you to hear Steve's own interpretation of it. The song is called The Group.
I heard of a group with others like me who felt the way I feel. I felt sorry for myself, like the only man on earth, and someone said a group could help me heal. So I dropped in on a Monday, where they all sat in a circle and they told each other stories of the war. Some were old and some were young, but mostly they were young, and mostly I kept looking at the floor. Dave was only 20, and he said his life was over, and he asked if this was all the life he'd get. Bill was 50, going blind, complaining of infections, which he got from tubes connected to his chest. John at 30 had some spots, he didn't like to go outside. He said his mother hated him, but he was just a prisoner, and he wished had the guts for suicide. housewife and a mother, but she hated all her so-called Christian friends, 'cause they judged her and they told her if she really loved her Jesus, he'd have healed her 'cause the blood of Christ would cleanse. She was very disappointed in the Lord, 'cause she'd done everything from speaking in tongues to laying on of hands. She said if this was celestial retribution, then none of us stood any kind of chance. And the group just listened, kind of in a trance. Maxie liked to party, and she said she'd never stop it. After all, this thing would kill no matter what. She said we looked pathetic, and that she would not stop living till they threw her in a box and slammed it shut. And she showed us all the track marks on her arms and on her body, and invited us to join in later on. And then she staggered for a moment, fell into her chair, and the group just listened, helpless but to stare. And the sickest ones were scaring me, the youngest made me sad, and the ones who looked pathetic just made me feel pathetic. There was one who seemed to know a lot, and one who had no clue. There was one who spoke of vitamins, who said we needed vitamins, and as they said what they were going through, I cried, 'cause I was going through it too. Jamie was a rocker, and he wanted us to know that he was straight and that he never fucked with guys. Afraid his friends would call him gay, he kept it all a secret, but the stress was buried deeply in his eyes. And he ranted, it's a goddamn enough to think I might be dying. Must they judge me like I'm just some fucking queer? And then he looked around and realized who he was talking to. But the group just listened. That's why they were here. He was not the first to hate a queer. I finally took my turn and said, I guess I got it easy, 'cause all my friends and family really care. They call me and they take me out to dinner, and they tell me if I ever needed them, they'd soon be there. Suddenly it looked like they were dying in the desert, begging for some kind of comfort from the heat. And I had water. I was the only one with water. And I couldn't spare a drop of it to drink. I was glad when it was over. I raced to get back home, and I felt a little better. Not quite so alone. But how strange to be a member of a club that nobody wants to be a member of. And for all the good it did, I still cannot recoup from the time I finally visited the group.
Steve Joklin and the Group. Tom Wilson Weinberg has written many fine musicals that were full of politics and comments on society. In 1987, the musical 10% Review contained the spoken word and song piece High Risk for Afraids.
According to White House spokesperson Marlon Fitzwater, President Reagan thinks
AIDS is a very serious health problem that should be addressed.
As reported April 1st, 1987, Fitzwater repeatedly refused to say where Reagan stands on AIDS education in schools, the question of abstinence versus the use of condoms, or universal AIDS testing. Carlo Donat-Cattin, Italian Minister of Health, said recently,
AIDS is an illness that only strikes those who go looking for it. They're at high risk for AIDS. As misdirected leadership increases, incompetence takes over and hope for thousands fades. Now we need a cure for two diseases. All the talk among heterosexuals makes it sound like straights are a little jealous of all the attention gays are getting and want in on the tragedy that only promiscuity can bring.
John Podoritz, editor, Insight magazine. It's amazing how terrifying sex has become since the advent of AIDS. The idea of sex with a total stranger is about as enticing as a leap off a bridge.
Emily Prager, columnist, Penthouse Magazine.
Boston University President John Silber called the Campus Safe Sex campaign
immoral, with no merit whatsoever. You don't say robbery is wrong, and then turn around and say, but we've got this handy-dandy burglary kit available if you want one.
They're at high risk for a fight. Are they trying to protect us or police us? Their guile is malignant to the lives that it invades. Now we need a cure for two diseases.
Reverend Jimmy Swaggart.
There is no such thing as homosexuality among children or in the animal kingdom. Homosexuality is the worst sin. He who defiles the temple of God, one's own body, him shall God destroy.
Father Peter Conley, Director of Communications, Archdiocese of Boston.
The gift of sex is intended to express the love of a husband and wife. And what today's society calls casual sex is not only tragically flawed, but life-threatening.
High risk for a freight. They've pulled out all the stops, including Jesus, for the superstitious sorcery persuades. Now we need a cure for two diseases.
The Bavarian cabinet has issued an edict empowering the police to round up for examination anyone suspected of carrying the AIDS virus.
We want to ensure that isolation is used only as a last resort. We are aware that this is not a means for controlling the epidemic. It only applies to individuals. It's not significant in any broader sense.
Carl Smith, California Conference of Local Health Officers.
High risk for a freight. And while our freedom flutters in the breezes, those at risk for bigotry are coming out in spades.
I had the privilege of interviewing one of my heroes, Tom Robinson, in 2004, and I asked him to tell me about the inspiration for his song, Blood Brother.
When you write songs, most writers I know have a little black notebook, or it could be any colour, that they put fragments of ideas in as they occur to them. The fragment that started Blood Brother was walking with your brother, your sister, your mother, so well behaved, which just didn't sound like anything. but it was a vision of a teenage boy who's just got, like, a bit too old to be dragged around by his mother on a shopping expedition, and kind of imprisoned by being told by his mother he's got to go down into town on a shopping expedition. And that was all contained in this idea of being, you know, so well behaved, the inner life at total odds with the outer life, and this kind of outwardly conformist idea for this teenage kid. So I started trying to work out what this was, how this could be a song. What was this about? It didn't sound like a line from a song. As I started writing, this whole story poured out, again, just in prose, over 10 pages or something, about this boy. I just wrote down everything I could think of about him, that he was red-haired, that he freckled, lived on a farm with his family, he was the youngest kid. And again, it didn't sound like much like a song, but I ended up with a whole story. And then I managed to condense that down into something that I could sing. But there was much more detail in the original story than made it to the final song. But there are resonances of all the original story in the song.
The song's an award winner.
The song eventually won an award because at the end of the first draft, it came to the line, "Open your eyes, here I am, I'm your blood brother." And suddenly I realized that isn't the end of the song, that's the actual hook of the song. And it gradually emerged that this was not a song about teenagers growing up. This was a song about bisexuality, and a song more specifically about the spectre of AIDS. And it's all very understated, although much clearer in the original story. And I think the resonances make it work. And again, it's a song that means a lot to me personally.
Ben was born in Lincoln County, and he grew up in the Fens. Teased and bullied by his brothers in a family of 10. Social bull and easy going, helping out around the home. While his inner life ticked on like an unexploded bomb, just waiting for his moment.
Open your eyes, open your eyes.
Going shopping with his mother like a whippet on the leash, always straining at the traces, out of sight and out of reach. And any time the house was empty, he would work out on his own, disappearing on his bike in the middle of the night, stealing from the kitchen. Open your eyes, open your eyes, open your eyes. Here I am, I'm your blood brother. Well, he saved up his allowance, and he studied like a slave, worked his passage to Australia to try and make his getaway. I was single when I met him, he was bitter and 19. Oh, but he so reminded me of someone I used to be a long time ago. Open your eyes, open your eyes, open your eyes. Here I am, I'm your blood brother.
Open your eyes.
lot of friends. I do 20 at the pool and take the kids to school. Now the party's at an end, but at a benefit last Sunday, we met again as if by fate. I barely recognized Ben when he grabbed me again, whispered in my ear, open your eyes, open your eyes, open your eyes, here I am, I'm your blood brother.
Blood Brother came from Tom Robinson's 1990 album, We Never Had It So Good. Here's another song where the AIDS references are subtle. In 1997, Australian artist David Campbell recorded a beautiful version of Tom Anderson's song, Yard Sale.
Took a walk to a grocery store one sunny Saturday. I thought I'd be right back until I found along the way a yard sale filled with stuff I just had to stop and see if someone else's hand-me-downs were waiting there for me. A young man came walking up and gave a tired grin, his face a little tattered and his frame a little thin, but nonetheless he did his best, appearing charming as can be. He took my arm and led the way, and he said this to me: take a look around, there are treasures to be found. It's the greatest deal in town. You're sure to find some of it's old, some barely used, but no offer is refused, 'cause I'm moving on and running out of time. He pointed out his stereo, some silver spoons from Spain, a photograph of Garbo. Look, she even signed her name. Two Persian rugs, 10 coffee mugs, a couch and matching chair. When asked where he was headed for, he simply said, nowhere. But take a look around. There are treasures to be found. It's the greatest deal in town. You're sure to find some of it's old, some barely used, but no offer is refused. 'Cause I'm moving on and running out of time. I picked out a table lamp and a couple of old striped ties. But when I went to pay the man, tears were in his eyes. What can I say? It's been quite a day. He said so soft I barely heard, unsure of what to say to him. I didn't say a word. It's old, some barely used, but no offer is refused. 'Cause I'm moving on and running out of time.
My brother lived in San Francisco. He said he finally found his place. And when I go to San Francisco, everywhere I look, I see his face. But and I face childhood under stark Montana sky. He seemed to always have cities in his eyes. He longed for possibility. He lived to move away. And he finally found his dream in the city by the bay. Joe and I were best of friends in our small-time college town. And Joe had personality. What a campus clown. His jokes hit deeper rivers that bubbled far below. And he rode the current west where the rapid there. thought they would be there. When we made it back again. My brother lived in San Francisco. He said he finally found his place. And when I go to San Francisco, everywhere I look, I see his face.
Following David Campbell was Kim Criswell and a touching song from the musical Elegies from 1993. Up next is a country artist followed by an alt-country artist. First is Doug Stevens, one of our pioneers, and he's an artist who did much to bring queer country music out of the closet. His song HIV Blues spoke directly about someone leaving their lover because one of them tested positive. It happened to Doug.
My partner and I, and at that time he was my second partner, this was in the late 80s, he and I both got tested for HIV, and he was negative and I was positive. And he left me because of it, and I went into a depression. And this was actually 1990, so there really wasn't a lot of hope for people with HIV back then. And I got really depressed.
Thunder of truth deafens me. I need some rest, a place to hide from this demon chasing me. Won't somebody special, a match made in heaven above. Those hazel eyes deep and strong, a love like I've never known. But then the test best results came. He wasn't special anymore. He was afraid to touch me. 5 years of love up in flames. I've got the HIV blues. What's going to happen? Place to hide from this loneliness killing me. Will anybody love me now that I carry HIV?
HIV Blues is from 1993 and came from Doug's landmark album, Out in the Country. About the same time, alt-country artist Mary Gaucher released her debut album, Dixie Kitchen, and her AIDS song is called Goddamn HIV.
I wrote that song. It's one of the first songs I've written. It's about a friend of mine. It's sort of a composite about several friends of mine who died of AIDS. One of my best buddies in Baton Rouge got sick. He's the first person that we all knew who had the virus. And it was 84, 85, something like that. And he's in there trying to remember what he went through. I wrote that. And then there were other friends who were sick but who hadn't died yet. And they're in there. And I tried to write it, I tried to think how would, you know, it was before the movie Philadelphia came out, but I was still thinking, how would Bruce Springsteen do this? And how would Woody Guthrie do this? How would they write this song? And that's who I was trying to channel when I wrote that. And so my thoughts were to write it in first person, like I'm the guy, and just have him walking on the train tracks at the end of the song into the darkness.
My name is Michael Joe Alexandre. I've been a queer since the day I was born. My family, they don't say much to me. My heart knows their silence has scorn. And my friends have been dying. All my best friends are dead. I walk around these days with their picture in my head. Spend my time thinking about some things they said. And I don't know what's happening to me. I don't know what all of this means. I don't think it means what it seems. We used to party all night till the dawn. I can still see the boys with their tight leather on in the downtown bars where it always is night. I could hang with my friends and feel all right.
I was 30 years old when the sickness first came, and it rolled through my world like a wind-driven flame, leaving ashes, memories, funerals and pain. And I don't know what's happening to me. I don't know what all of this means. I don't think it means what it seems. When I was a boy, I'd get scared late at night, and my mom would come and turn on the light, but there's nobody here with me tonight, and I don't know what's happening to me. Sometimes at dusk, I walk the train tracks, and I walk and I walk like I ain't coming back. I look at the sky, so endless and black. Man, I swear, it's swallowing me. Goddamn each other.
I've got two more country artists, this time straight ones, and the first is Rodney Crowe, and his album from 2001, The Houston Kid, is excellent. It contains two songs that lyrically dealt with gay issues, and I'm sharing with you Wandering Boy.
Thank you. used to cast my judgments like a net. All those California gay boys deserve just what they get. Little did I know there would come a day when my words would come back screaming like a debt I have to pay. Lean on me, I'll be strong. We're almost free. It won't be long. Wandering boy.
Too much wine, and she left his bed at dawn, and she thinks.
there is one day that's left in her life. She won't know love, have a marriage, or sing lullabies. She lays all alone and cries herself to sleep. But she let a stranger kill her hopes and her dreams. And all her friends say, what a pity, what a loss. And in the end, when she was barely hanging on, all she could say is she thinks his name was John.
Of course, following Rodney Crowe was Reba McEntire, and given the mentality of Nashville, I think she was brave to record that song in 1994. It was called She Thinks His Name Was John. There's more to come, but I'm closing the second part of this show with Michael Callen. He had so many wonderful songs, and this one is very fitting. He wrote it with Marcia Malamed, and the lead vocals were recorded in 1986, but not released until after his death, on the Legacy album. Here's The Healing Power of Love.
So many things I want to do, so many dreams still to come true, so much to give. I want to be all I can be, I want to keep you here with me, I want to live.
The healing power of love. It's up to me.